It's certainly not my favorite topic to preach on. I haven't done it in a while. But the title of the message this morning is Dressing Modestly in an Immodest World. Dressing Modestly in an Immodest World. As most of you know, Pastor Darrell, myself and my wife, we hosted a recent tour to the Holy Land. We, of course, went to Greece and went to Egypt as well. But there was many memorable experiences that we had while we took those 24 people around the Holy Land. And we had a guide whose name was Malcolm. And when we were in Israel, he was an excellent guide. He knew a lot about the Bible and so on. But one of the things that Malcolm made clear was that modest apparel was to be worn by men and women, young and old, on our time through Israel. No bare shoulders. No low-cut blouses or shirts, no shorts, no exposure of flesh above the knee. I remember him sending one young man in his 20s, a Bible college student who should have known better, up to his motel room with clear instructions to take off his shorts and put on long pants because the places that we were going to visit in our itinerary would not allow him to enter with shorts on. I remember also a sign that I saw when we went into the area. I can't remember what the exact site was, but I remember the sign. It was where Jesus Christ fed the 5,000. Do you remember what, was that the Mount of Beatitudes, Pastor? Okay, the Mount of Beatitudes, but right on the sign, it gave warnings about what you could not wear on the sign with a slash across it. I remember on another occasion, our guide, as discreetly as he could, told a woman that she needed to put on a jacket or she needed to change her top because her shoulders were bare and it was too low cut. Modesty is what we're going to be talking about today. Summer is coming, and therefore I think it's timely to challenge you to dress modestly in an immodest world. While the primary focus is going to be on women this morning, because men are visually oriented, ladies. You need to understand that. It wasn't Bathsheba who got into trouble watching David take a bath. It was David who got in trouble, a man after God's own heart, I might note, not at that point in his life, but who had been consistent for the Lord. He got himself in trouble watching a naked woman taking a bath, and ended up committing immorality, being partner to a murder, and all the other things, because men are visually oriented, and God is no dummy when it comes to giving us instructions on how women should dress, but the principles apply to men as well. And I'll be talking about that from time to time throughout the message. Looking at the word modest, the English word modest occurs just one time in our King James Version of the Bible. However, the Greek word appears three times. But the word modest appears once in the King James Version of the Bible. And if you have your Bibles, it's the passage that Pastor Darrell read to you. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says this, "In like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness." Now, what that means is respectful timidity. In other words, your clothes shouldn't advertise, be boisterous, attract attention. It says, "with shamefacedness," respectful timidity, "and sober," demonstrates self-control, not with the broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with all good works. One of my favorite commentaries is one that Pastor Darrell introduced me to. It's called the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It's in one volume. But anyway, it's a good commentary. And here is what the Bible Knowledge Commentary says about the verse. It says, Paul turned to females in the congregation. So he's addressing ladies in his church. I'm addressing ladies in the church. And men, I'm addressing you in relationship to your wives and men, your daughters. It says, for their adornment, they should not emphasize the external but the internal. They should dress modestly with decency and propriety. The term stress not so much the absence of sexual suggestiveness, though it is included, but rather an appearance that is simple, moderate, judicious, and free from ostentation. The specifics Paul mentioned, braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or expensive clothing, are not wrong in themselves, but become inappropriate when they indicate misplaced values. In other words, when they become gaudy, when they attract attention, when they attract undue, when they cause undue attention. And then he says this, in the Ephesian church, these styles may have been associated with local temple prostitutes. We'll talk about the attire of a harlot in a little bit in the message. Christians must be careful about letting pagan culture set their fashions. Now, none of that's in your notes. There just was no room. I had an additional page. It's not in your notes. Christians must be careful about letting a pagan culture set their fashions. Christians must be careful about letting pagan culture set their fashions. They tell you if you say it three times, it's supposed to stick. Well, when we look at this verse, the word modest is kosmeo, and it means orderly, well-arranged, decent, and modest. Now, the same root word is used in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 3. It's translated adorning there. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning. And that's the same word that's translated modest in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. What I want to show you is that here's what's important. Number one, modesty relates to a person's manner of dress. That's true. But modesty also can apply to a person's demeanor and their behavior. So modesty normally involves both a person's manner of dress and the inward quality of that person. The well-ordered modesty is not of dress and behavior only, but also of one's inner life, which exhibits itself outwardly. The inner life exhibits itself outwardly. Biblical modesty starts on the inside and works its way on the outside. I want to talk to you a little bit about the language of fashion. I thought about putting some illustrations in here, but then I was afraid that if I put some illustrations in here, it would incite lust, and so I can't put the illustrations in here. I'll just have to describe the best that I can. But, you know, there is a language in fashion. The clothes that you wear communicate a powerful message. I want you to know that. Men and women, the clothes that you wear, they communicate a powerful message. There's a book out called Dress for Success. It's primarily aimed at business people. But Vivian Woodward. Vivian Woodward is 8 years older than I am, and I put a picture in there. You can't see it because it's black and white in yours and color in mine, but she's got bright dyed red hair that's spiked. She's an English fashion designer who is primarily responsible for bringing punk and new wave fashions into the mainstream. Now you say, well, what are punk and new wave fashions? Well, punk and new wave fashions are, number one, the bare belly that you see so much on girls where they look like they have a short shirt that is 27 sizes too small for them and shrunk. And then the plunging neckline with being able to see the cleavage in that, and then the leather Gothic type of style with the rivets and all that sort of stuff. There you have Vivian Woodward stuff. She's popularized that. It sells. If I told you the names of the stores, you'd be able to recognize the names of the store. But you say, well, why are you bringing up Vivian Woodward? Well, I have some agreement and a lot of disagreement with her. And here's what I agree with her with. She said, quote, "I think fashion is the strongest form of communication." She went on to say, "It's only interesting to me if it's subversive." She went on to say after that, "The only reason I'm in fashion is to destroy the word conformity." And I give you the place where that's found, where you can read it for yourself if you like. I perhaps agree with her statement that says fashion is the strongest form of communication, or at least I would say it's a very, very strong form of communication. Now, let me give you just an example. I want to take your mind someplace this morning. It's the right place, but I want to take your mind someplace this morning. What's the first thing that would come into your mind if you'd see a couple walking down the street and the wife is wearing a modest dress and the husband is dressed in slacks and a collared shirt? Well, if I saw that, I would wonder, is that a Christian couple? That's what I'd wonder. Is that a Christian couple? Or I'd say at least they're conservative in their values. That's what I'd say. Let me give you another example. What's the first thought that comes to your mind when you see a couple walking down the street? The woman's in short shorts, a low top, a bare middle, and the man has on a muscle shirt and ragged jeans with holes in them. You get my point. I don't want you to stay there very long. Fashion communicates. What are you communicating in the way that you dress? Not just in church. Not just in church, but outside of church. Do you ever wonder why lawyers have the criminals they represent dress in suits and ties? You ever wonder about that? Well, I'll tell you. Let me just tell you why. Because fashion communicates. If the guy came in there with his britches half off of his bottom, like even worse than plumber pants, and he comes and his hair's all spiked and he's got a rock t-shirt and he's got his big tattoo is showing "I love blood." Now just how do you suppose that's going to influence the judge and the court? You know, some people say, "Oh, now Pastor, you get too upset about this stuff." You're right. Because fashion does communicate. And I agree in part with Vivian Woodward. Fashion is the strongest form of communication. I think it's a very, very, very strong form of communication. The fashion world is telling our kids in no uncertain terms, and our adults too, that they're designing fashions, and those fashions say, "Look at me! Look at what I have!" Particularly for women, but for men as well. But particularly for women. And you know what? A lot of women, even Christian women, are buying it hook, line, and sinker. They're buying it, they're swallowing it, and they're hooked. And friends, it does not line up with the Scriptures. It does not. In the book, it's hard to believe, but it's true. In the book, How to Marry the Man of Your Choice, Margaret Kent, the secular author, instructs women how to use clothing to manipulate men. She recommends body-hugging skirts and revealing blouses. Quote, "Don't let the power of clothing pass you by." Did you catch that, dads? Did you catch that, husbands? Now, how my wife dresses at home in the bedroom is a completely different thing. Doesn't have anything to do with this here. But I'll tell you what, I don't want somebody outside of my home lusting after my wife. "Don't let the power of clothing pass you by, for it can be a major asset in attracting men." She goes on to write, sorry, but this is what she wrote, and I'm quoting, "Stir his sexual imagination without satisfying his curiosity about your body," end quote. Then she adds, "Wear clothing that follows the natural form of your body." She finally notes that jeans are likely to get a positive response because they are snug and outline the body. Do you know what the Bible calls clothing that Miss Kent is describing? It's called the attire of a harlot. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." The attire of a harlot has always roused the base nature of men, Christian and non-Christian. If a Christian man sees it, he's no different than an unsaved man, except that he can turn his thoughts to something else and ask God to protect his mind. Now, this whorish attire is detestable and is worn to encourage men's lusts. Now, I want to ask you a question. If a Christian woman wears the attire of a harlot, will it have the same effect? What if she wears the attire of a harlot and puts on the T-shirt, "I'm a Christian"? Will it still have the same effect? Well, it's a rhetorical question, because the answer is what? Yes. It'll still have the same effect. Christian ladies are not to dress like that. It is worldly, and we are not to let the pagan fashion world... By the way, do you know that the statistics I read that say over 85% of those who are in fashion, the key fashion players in industry, are homosexuals and lesbians? Just thought you ought to know that. We're not to dress like that as Christians, Christian men or Christian women. It's worldly. 1 John 2:15-7 says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." A Christian woman is to dress modestly, as seen in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered of hair," it isn't that you can't have your hair done, "not with gold," isn't that you can't wear a necklace, ladies, or pearls or costly array. "But if you dress in that way that it attracts attention and it says, 'Look at me!'" It's wrong. Your attire should not say, "Look at me. Look at my body." Let's get specific, because I don't have much time left. Women are to have a modest demeanor and body language. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks." I mean, they're prideful, their noses in the air, they're saying, "Look at me." Isaiah 3:16. "And wanton eyes," you know what that is? Flirting eyes. Wanton eyes. "Ooh, I got something you ought to have." "Wanton eyes and walk mincing." I find it interestingly that here is how Martin Luther translates it in his German Bible. This is the English translation of how Luther's German Bible translates it. "They walk along and waggle." They walk along. Do I have to explain it? No. And they're not doing the hokey pokey either. "As they go and make tinkling with their feet." They wore little bells as they walked and they wiggled and their noses in the air and they're saying to everybody, "Look at me." attracting attention, motivating and stirring the lusts. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. What's that? He's going to show what shouldn't be shown. Let's get to the nitty-gritty of it. Isaiah 47, 1 through 3. You know, I'm sure Pastor Derry remembers, every year he and I and several other pastors would battle the battle for dress at camp. And the battle was always, well, how short can the shorts be? And they say, well, fingertip length. Well, depending where your fingers are. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. You can like it, you can lump it, you can do whatever you want. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. See, there was a virgin daughter, but the virgin daughter didn't cover up the stuff, didn't save it for her husband. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt be no more called tender and delicate. Yes, no longer a virgin daughter. They got names for people who dress immodestly. It says, take the millstone and grind, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the river, thy nakedness shall be uncovered and the shame, thy shame shall be seen. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about seeing what's above the knee. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. The covering of the thigh is the benchmark of modesty. If the thigh is not covered, it's not modest. Just for the record, let me read the dictionary definition of the thigh. Quote, the thigh is the part of the human leg between the knee and the hip. Anybody need to know where the thigh is? The thigh is, here's the knee. Thigh is the portion from above the knee to your hip. That's supposed to be covered. Men, in your shorts, say, you ride bike, Pastor, you bet. You want to see the length of my shorts? They're below my knee. Well, clothing must be modest. The clothing that a Christian woman wears should not be too tight. It should not be too sheer. It should not be too short. It should not be too revealing. Dads, I want to tell you something. Watch your young ladies, and for that matter, even your wife. You know, we don't need a display of cleavage at First Baptist Church. I know it's not wrong to look upon a woman, to lust after her, but if the V gets too low and you start seeing cleavage, should not be. Now, if you got a yoke there and there's no cleavage, and it's, well, okay. But I'm just telling you, shouldn't be too tight, too sheer, too short, too revealing, too provocative. And for ladies, it should not be too masculine. And that's a whole nother message. Persistent modesty. Let me read that again. Persistent immodesty is evidence of rebellion towards God. It's evidence of rebellion towards His Word. It's evidence of rebellion towards His church. It's evidence of rebellion towards fathers. It's evidence of rebellion towards husbands. A lot of times those things just go right over a man's head. You're not looking at your daughters as other men look at them. I understand that. But it's time that you did and you realize. With the proliferation of pornography that's so available on the news, when you walk through the mall, not to mention the internet, you need to make sure that your wives and your daughters dress modestly. Immodesty is sinful, leads to additional sins, and corrupts others. Titus 2, 4, and 5 says, teach the younger women to be sober, to be discreet, chaste, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm done. Let's pray.